know it's really bizarre? 10:45 this morning, I'm riding down the road, and this song comes on. And I expected, like, to fade out at 20 seconds. And it keeps going, and I'm like, oh, this is really weird. Pretty weird, wasn't it, Taylor?
Oh, it was very weird.
Yeah. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's going to be a great show today. Thank you for tuning in to 94.5 WGTK, The Answer, in Greenville, South Carolina. My daughter Taylor's with me.
Hello.
And we're also joined by Ryan Bass.
How's everybody?
And it's going to be a little archery show today, the latter half of the show. We're gonna talk to, hopefully, if he can remember, we're going to talk to Nick Rubio, who I think actually started the Clemson Collegiate Bass Fishing Club. And he is Fat Sack Outdoors, and they're doing a cool little thing with the Department of Natural Resources for all you high school anglers out there, the first weekend in August. So hopefully if he has remembered to call me, then we'll do that. If not, we'll just go on to all the other stuff we got going on. But had fun at Cabela's?
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
What'd you do?
We, Hurricanes Archery set up a booth. It's a inflatable archery booth. And they have little balls you can shoot with the blunt arrows.
Okay.
With the, what's it?
I don't know. It's like a hammer tip arrow. Yeah.
And so we kind of instructed the kids how to do that, and I was very impressed. And we had a lot of adults do it, which was really cool. So
I had a steady stream of people coming through.
Oh my goodness, yes. I didn't think when we first opened it wasn't very crowded. I was like, okay, well, this is gonna be an interesting way to fill up 3 hours. But right. So it started getting busier as we went around and told people about it. So
passed pretty quick too, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Doing it tomorrow. This is Cabela's Archery Classic,
mm-hmm.
is what they called it.
Cool.
And they did it today from 11 to 2. Do it again tomorrow from 11 to 2. So if you're in the Greenville area, stop by Cabela's. The DNR was there.
Mm-hmm.
The Hurricanes Archery was there with the NAS program. I know they're doing some trail camera stuff, too.
Cool.
So really neat little thing. And, hey, he remembered. So as soon as he gets set up here, we'll go straight to Nick Rubio. Nick, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, man,
how's it going,
doing?
Roger? I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. I mean, to my surprise, I turned around at the meeting at Cohen Campbell Fish Hatchery in Columbia yesterday, and there you were. And I'm like, it's always nice to meet somebody that you never have before they come on the show.
Right. Yeah. No, that was a pleasure. I was glad DNR invited me down there, and you know, had a chance to speak to some of those coaches and meet you as well.
Yeah.
So it was a good day.
Hey, they got some pretty neat things that are going to happen down there on the high school side this year, aren't they?
They do. You know, I a lot of credit goes out to DNR, these coaches, and especially the parents that are really making high school fishing into what it is now.
It's an amazing thing to watch. I mean, we went to Paris, Tennessee, back in June to the high school championships, and to see,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was at least 5-1. I mean, you had five like parent, sister, grandmother, granddaddy to every angler up there. It was a really neat thing to see a family involvement in high school fishing these days.
It is, you know, and it's a wide range of demographics, but you know, it doesn't limit a kid based on his size, his ability, you know, fishing is a special sport, and I'm glad it's growing like it is, especially with the youth.
That's it. Well, look, you are, and I think I got this right, you started the Clemson Collegiate Fishing Club?
Not solely. I don't take sole responsibility. I was part of that first team that we helped get it going, and that was in 2009.
Okay. Very good.
Yes, sir.
And you are a Fat Sack Outdoors.
You know, I try to be. I wear a lot of different hats right now, but yeah, Fat Sack is it's a passion, it's a dream of mine, and I've been, you know, blessed and lucky enough to have been the founder and president of it now for a little over 2 years. So it's been quite a journey with, you know, ebbs and flows everywhere.
Sure. Well, tease us just a little bit on what Fat Sack is, because I told you, yesterday I'm going to have you back on and we're going to do a longer segment on it. So give us just a short thing on what Fat Sack is, and then tell us what you're doing with the high school fishing clubs through DNR coming up the first weekend in August.
Yeah, so I mean, what FatSack is to the angler, it's a mobile application on iOS and Android that allows you to take in all the important details about a catch with a push of a button. It's tackle, inventory, and management, and probably our most popular feature is our tournaments, where you can challenge a buddy. You can join a nationwide tournament, or if you're a bass club or tournament director, you can actually run your tournament or series through the app as well. So it's a way to, you know, reach people before, during, and after their time on the water.
Very nice. And the little thing you've got going on with DNR and the high school fishing clubs.
Yeah, so DNR, we are putting on a virtual fishing tournament. DNR is, you know, they want to have an involvement with the tournament, get the sport to where we want it to be. And so as a way to reach these kids in the summer and kind of prep them for the upcoming season and going back to school, it's a statewide virtual tournament. It's length-based, and so basically the kids can fish any public waters in South Carolina. It doesn't have to be a major lake. It can be a public river or pond. And they submit their catches through the FatSack app. They tune into the live leaderboard on the app to see where they are during the tournament and tournament chat with the other anglers throughout the state. So it's our first one, but, you know, we're looking to do a lot more of these and even take it across the country. So kind of that Major League Fishing style on your own waters.
Which is pretty cool. And, you know, I wanted to say yesterday in the meeting they were talking about, oh, it's by length and you have short fish and stuff like that. But, you know, I went down to ICAST and got in the cup mm-hmm. and won a $400 Lowrance unit with an 8-inch brim. So length matters.
Wow.
Even if it's the shortest fish that we weighed in the whole tournament. But it was a virtual app type tournament. So I know just a little bit about it, and they're really neat. Some people may turn up their nose, but you're right. It's a way that anybody can compete against anyone on any level.
Yeah, and it knocks down some of those typical barriers to competitive fishing, like, you know, having a bass boat, being having access to these major lakes and, you know, the funds to do it. And so it's just kind of that fun, unique way to compete without having to put up all that cash up front.
Very true. Very true. Well, you got some local sticks on your pro staff. So go ahead and tell us who FatSack sponsors out there on the tour.
So we sponsor right now. It's Brian Latimer. We were with Matt Lee and Jordan Lee last year. But Brian Latimer is, you know, he's the songbird. Brian's great. He's gotten hooked up with some great companies. You know, Visit Anderson, everything else. He's a close personal friend of mine. But, you know, we've got over 100 quote unquote pro staffers across the country. You know, that love the app, love what it does, and are great guys that are helping us promote it.
Well, I downloaded it onto my phone. I haven't had any time to spend looking at it, but I plan to. And it'll be real easy for me to use, and, you know, I get to go fishing like 2 or 3 times a year, so it shouldn't have to worry about overloading the app.
No, and, you know, for those anglers that don't get to fish all the time, we're taking all of our the data that the app is consuming and going to present it basically in a way that will help anglers like yourself have more success on the water by, you know, telling you what's working in certain areas of the lake that are on or hot. So it's morphing into a more complete fishing platform instead of just something that the avid and better anglers can use.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. We're going to get back with you and get you on to go deeper into the app and actually maybe walk through a little bit on the here on the show. But I appreciate you doing it. How do people find it on the iTunes Store or Android?
Yes, so just go to the Apple Store or Android, type in FatSack Outdoors, and you'll see it there. It's a free download, so can't lose anything.
Very good. Nick, great meeting you yesterday. Look forward to having you back on and working with you on down the road.
Yeah, you too. I appreciate it, Roger.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And that tournament is open to any high school angler who is a member of a fishing club.
That is really neat.
And that's one of those things right along with NASP. It is involving all these kids who are not the football, baseball.
Not every kid's a job.
That's right.
And we're seeing kids now leave those sports to come over here.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So we're seeing kids, you know, and parents love it because now they're not worried about injuries and concussions.
Sure.
So now they're coming over our way, so which is where we want them.
That's where we want them. We want them doing something. Let's put it that way. All right. When we get back, I've got a short calendar of events, and then we're going to start picking Ryan about IBO, NAS, 3D Challenge, and Taylor's going to chime in too. So hang on through the break. Woods and Water, South Carolina. I did not want to start off the show being negative, but I'm going to just something that's just wearing me out. And it may be only a few people that are stirring the pot. And look, deer hunters, relax, okay? Nothing really has changed, except now you're going to have to put a tag on the deer. 11 tags come with the license. The normal license you buy, you get 8 doe tags, 3 buck tags.
Repeat that. How many?
11.
That's what I thought. 11.
11. I think I shot 4 deer in one time, one season. That's the most I've ever shot.
And we're still at how many bucks?
5.
5.
Total. I mean, you get 3 tags with the license. You can buy 2 additional restricted tags. So that's 5. You have 11 doe tags. You can go out and buy 4 more that are, you know, the 8 doe tags are dated, just like doe days. Look, there's no difference. When dawn breaks on doe day and the sun goes down at the end of the day, doe day's over, right?
Correct.
Okay. The same thing's happened with the tag. The tag's dated. it's not good before 30 minutes before sunrise on that Saturday, and it's invalid 30 minutes after sunset. Which is the same thing that happened with the doe day. When the sun comes up, sun goes down.
No changes.
So no changes there, okay? You have 3 unrestricted buck tags. You can buy 2 additional restricted antler buck tags for a total of 5, which is a statewide limit now. I think that's where a lot of people are yelling.
That's right.
Because low country game zones 3 and 4 have never had a buck limit.
Never been restricted.
Never been a restricted buck limit. I think that's where a lot of people are really, I mean, on Facebook, people, I've heard this is Hitler, this is gun control, it's not, okay? DNR lied to us. It's all about the money. If it was all about the money, you'd be paying $5 per tag on the 11 tags you get with your license, not $5 for the additional tags you can get if you want to spend 5 additional dollars per tag.
Right.
Am I right in that?
That's right.
Am I looking in the mirror and just not seeing the sunlight?
I think it's a good move. I think we're headed in the right direction. Anybody that travels out of state, you know, you already know what other states are doing, and we're the last state to follow suit.
And the people would say, and the people on the internet would say, but what do we care about it? What other state is doing? I think we should care because it's the health of the deer herd.
Yep.
And other states have seen the same declines as we have, and their population stabilized, and hunters are happy.
Absolutely.
But yeah, nothing really has changed. There's a 5-buck state limit. That's been upstate 1 and 2 forever. It's same as last year. You can kill, 4 does in game zone 1 and, no, 3 and 1 and 4 and 2 or something like that. So it's the same season limits. You just have to put a tag on it now. And people are saying, well, that's not going to stop people from breaking the law.
Yeah, but it's going to make people a lot more selective on what they use that tag for.
Well, and if you are caught with an untagged deer, it's $1,068.
Exactly.
And that's non-negotiable. You don't have a tag on that deer, it's $1,068. Just start writing the check. And for $1,000, I'd rather buy Taylor the Kimber rifle she wants than to shoot a deer that's not going to have a tag on it.
Yeah, you would.
I would.
I want that rifle.
I know you do want that rifle.
It just makes hunters a lot more selective, but at the same time, it gives law enforcement, DNR-wise, a little bit of ability to regulate what is being killed, you know, and taken and harvested across the state and get our population where it needs to be.
Yeah.
And protect it some. We just haven't had that.
No, we haven't. And people scream about check stations. Not every deer went to a check station. Check stations were open, game management people had to check their deer. Private land people did not.
So it, this is a good change. And I think the majority of hunters, we're going to have some that's going to whine about it a little bit in the beginning. But all in all, I think hunters do want a better deer herd in South Carolina.
Because this legislation came about because of hunters.
Exactly.
Wanting limits. So, all right, I'm sorry. I try not to be negative on the show too much, but when I wake up on Saturday morning and sitting there watching Premier League soccer or whatever, that's look at me funny. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I enjoy soccer. I played a lot of soccer when I was younger. And I'm looking at Facebook chat rooms and all and other chat rooms. And the only thing on there is, oh, this is Hitler-esque or this is like gun control. Just tag the deer. Just take the tags in the woods. Put it through the hock where it's supposed to be. If you're an archery guy and you shoot one during archery season, go to the Department of Natural Resources website. Hit the frequently asked questions. I think it's question number 7 or 8. I actually took a picture of it this morning. Let me see which question it is. I'm sorry, it is question 18. I am a bow hunter, and in the past have been able to take antlerless deer any day without tagging during archery and primitive weapon seasons. What do I do now? Well, there's an answer for you there. And Charles Ruth went over this with us when he was on the show, and I really hated to ask Charles to come back on because I'm sure he's tired of talking about all this, but he was gracious enough and did it. So anyway, okay, rant over on the bigger and better things. Calendar. Let's run through a few things that are happening around the state. This is just a place to start. You're up there to find the rest yourselves. As always, it's brought to you by Visit Anderson Green Pond Landing and Events Center, which is getting ready to host the 2018 Bassmaster Classic. Clinton House. This is a pretty cool thing. Taylor, you went with me last year when
I
did this.
I did.
Shooting dines. You go out and shoot around sporting clays with whoever. You get a group together, or Taylor and I, we pretty much went on our own, didn't we?
Yeah, it was,
She trapped for me. You don't have trappers anymore, by the way.
Did I miss that phone call? That?
No, but here, you can have this one. Here's the printout. man, hate guests with attitudes. shooting dimes are back. July the 27th, down at the Clinton House. Whoops, that's wrong way. August 24th. 27th already passed. At least they're doing another one. $45 for targets and low country boil. Can't beat that. And low country boil was very, very good.
Oh, my goodness. I've never had a low country boil before. That was, oh my gosh.
It was good. All right. August the 5th. This is from the South Carolina State Parks website. It's a moonlight canoe float in Shraw at the Shraw State Park. These are always kind of cool. 7:30 to 10:30. You need to register 2 days before the program. Participants 14 years and older, under 18 must be accompanied by an adult. They're going to meet at the Lake Juniper boat launch. Headlamp, so you can see what you're doing. Insect repellent, appropriate clothing for the weather. And just get out and have a good time. Full moon canoe float. Y'all quit it. Jeez. Okay. Fixing to throw two people out of my studio here. August, Seaweed Visitor and Environmental Education Center down along the coast is loaded up for the month of August. And I'm just going to start off with one. August the 6th, beach drop on Bulls. Take Coastal Expeditions Ferry to the north end of Bulls Island for a day of shelling, photography, birding, and bliss. This seldom offered trip brings guests directly to one of the most secluded and pristine beaches in the world for shelling, swimming, birding, and a chance to reconnect with nature. For more information, you can get a hold of Coastal Expeditions. And then on August the 12th, Bottomlands Discovery Hike. Explore the natural beauty and wonders found in the Bottomland Forest. Walk the old rice field dikes along 1700-era water-filled canals and experience the fascinating blend of cultural and natural history so prevalent in the Bottomlands. Enjoy the splendors of old cypress trees with their knees and other unique flora and fauna as you walk through these plantation lands protected within the Francis Mary National Forest. Call the Seaweed Environmental Center for more information on that one. That Bulls Island, Bulls is a cool place to go. You know, I went all the way to Alaska hoping to see bald eagles, and I saw exactly 3 over 11 days. Came down, took the boat out to Bulls, and saw like 8.
That's a beautiful area.
It's really cool. The Boneyard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's really cool. And if you don't, the Boneyard is not a whale graveyard, people.
It I is. I don't think I want to go there.
You've been out there.
I have?
Yes, you've been out to Bulls.
When?
Well, it's been a few years. You were out there. The Boneyard is pretty cool. It says, as the beach has eroded, waves have encroached, and it's gone back and forth, the dead trees that are left out there.
I remember that now.
That's right. And if you get a nice day and a high tide, the bull reds are all in the Boneyard. Hmm. You just got to be able to get them out of it all.
Yeah.
So, here's one thing, that was pretty cool that somebody passed along to me. I had a friend that did this. Well, actually, Patrick Walters, when he was on the program not too long ago, he had done this trip, and so I pulled it off. A lot of you don't know, you can go put in, actually, as soon as the river below Columbia gets wide enough, and you can go through the Santee Cooper Lakes, Marion and Moultrie, pick your days because it got kind of nasty down there the other day with some winds, and I saw one boat that had been beat up on the rocks. It was pretty much destroyed, pontoon boat.
I saw that.
You saw that?
Yep.
But you can go put in below Columbia on the Broad, go all the way down to the Santee Cooper Lakes, and you can lock. You can lock at the Panopolis Dam. You can lock down from the lakes to the Cooper River and go all the way to the harbor in Charleston.
Yeah. Cooper River, by far, probably one of my most favorite stretches of water in
South
Carolina.
Beautiful.
Now, keep in mind, there's like, you know, 200 gators per mile.
That's
in there.
Right. But, yeah, do not be surprised when you see gators on every bare piece of dirt on the bank.
But it is one of the most beautiful stretches of water in South Carolina.
And there's some great fishing up there.
Absolutely.
You can catfish up there. Big blue catfish, I know, hang out on those along those edges. We went up there one year and went brim fishing in May when the brims were on the bed. Cane pole fishing.
Yeah. I remember checking some fishermen years ago. We were working down there as an officer, and just the brim were
huge. Yeah, unreal. So while you're doing that, you can fish along the way. That's just something you can do. That's not a dated thing. It's open year round. For motorized boats between 10 and 150 feet. And if you want to go down there, call them. The telephone number is 843-899-LOCK. And you can schedule a time to get through there or find out what their locking schedule is and make sure you're there in time to get in the lock. But just, we shad fish every year, February, March, and April behind the dam.
Yeah.
And you look up there and you go, like, that'd be cool to come down from the top side.
It's a cool trip.
And see that. And the lake is beautiful. Plenty of eagles, plenty of alligators, but just part of South Carolina. It's just incredible. Let's get to one more thing. August the 10th, the 14th annual QDMA Midlands Branch Banquet hosted by the Midlands Branch. It'll be at the Jamal Temple in Columbia, South Carolina, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. If you're interested in getting involved in deer management or a group of other deer hunters, QDMA is one of the best ones. And speaking of which, Joe Hamilton is going to be on here with us. He's written a book. So Joe is going to come on, and a little bit later in, I think we finally decided it's going to be in October because I'm booked up through August. He's booked in September. So sometime in October, Joe Hamilton, who really founded the QDMA here in Greenville back in the late 80s.
Cool.
I remember that. He's going to be on the show with us.
That Midlands branch is a great branch of QDMA. How much they do for the youth from scholarships and guns that they've given to different programs. So that's a very active group.
Midlands, and you got this, the bunch right here in Greenwood's another one, with the Puckett Homestead.
That's right.
And all the kids, stuff
they
do.
All the things
they
do would take one, make one.
That's exactly right. Good bunch of guys in QDMA. I'd urge you, if you want a local organization to get involved with, that's one to do it. All right, there's the music. Hang on through the break. We're going to talk IBO, NASP, 3D, archery for kids. Great stuff. After the bottom of the hour break. Woods and Water, South Carolina. We're sitting there talking about deer hunting and kind of slipped up on us. Ryan and I were talking, it only takes to write 5 acres.
Yep. That's amazing. We've always said, you know, write 5 acres and you're on a gold mine.
That's it. I just have never found the right 5 acres. Oh, man. It has been a good day archery-wise. We went out to Cabela's. A lot of kids shooting. I mean, a lot of small kids. We're talking 5, 6 years old out there. You know, almost have to hold the bow for them type thing. But it's fun to watch them. Their parents are enjoying. Right. Talk to a lot of people about the NASP program. Ryan Bass, who is with us today, used to be the man at DNR for bass, and then he retired.
Retired.
For about 2 days.
Maybe.
And has become the director of NASP IBO for International Bow Hunting Organization.
Absolutely. Very blessed.
And having a good time at it. I've
Absolutely.
Seen you twice now on the road, and you look to just be enjoying yourself.
It is. It is. It is a true pleasure to do what I'm doing for a living now. I mean, I've always loved my job. I tell people all the time, I was 6 years old, I want to be a game warden. I went
right.
and did it. And last couple of years there, shooting sports coordinator. And then late September last year, the president of IBO called me and said, hey, I hear you're close to retirement. And I said, yeah. And he said, why don't you come run this program for us? So I did. And, haven't looked back, and this thing's growing substantially faster than we ever thought it would grow. So which is good problems to have.
Well, go ahead and rake Taylor over the coals. Go ahead.
All right. Well, first of all, so we're down in Orlando, what, week and a half ago?
Yeah, something like that.
And
my second trip to Orlando in 2 weeks.
Yeah, back to back. You might as well just stay.
I should have stayed.
And so I look up, and here comes the Hurricanes in, their grand entrance that they always do.
Right.
Everybody looks. So I'm up there. I get the tournament started. I blow the whistle, get them going. I grab my camera real quick and come down and get some pictures, as I always do, of all the South Carolina kids.
Sure.
And put them on our Facebook page. And I come down, and I see you, and I'm looking. I'm going, where's she at? And he goes, oh, she's not shooting 3D.
Ooh.
So just totally dissed the 3D portion of the tournament. You come all the way to Orlando and you don't shoot 3D. You go over to Bullseye and you shoot a 260, I think.
And, had to remind me about this.
And then just totally didn't come shoot.
What 3D. Did you shoot the first time you shot IBO, Taylor?
264. What?
You shot a 264
no.
the last year?
Now, which do you like better?
I don't know. You're going to make me choose.
Well, see, as I'm sitting here, you're going to say 3D. But that's exactly what we hear most of the time is that once they shoot 3D, they're like, man, we like this, you know.
Well, we did last, oh, gosh, was it July down at Newberry when y'all did that?
That sounds about right because it was hot.
Y'all did
Did just a little fun shoot.
Just a little fun shoot, 3D, first time you'd ever shot it.
Yep.
You missed a bunch of targets. We had to hunt some arrows in the grass. And then you came back and shot the one at State? Or
I hadn't practiced.
No, well, it was just fun doing it.
We were not planning on doing it, but
no.
Then Miss Colleen came over. She's like, hey, we need some more girls to come shoot IBO. I was like,
why, sure.
Okay.
And you loved it.
Yeah, I did. It was really fun. It was something different, a change from Bullseye, but...
And what's so neat is we see kids now that you can see the straight link between 3D archery and hunting.
Oh, yeah.
And so now we're seeing kids come off the line. I was in Virginia last year, and a little small girl comes off the line, and the director of Virginia Fish and Game just walks into the range to see what's going on. This little kid comes off the line, looks at his parents, and goes, I want to go hunt something now. And you ought to have seen the director. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, lit him
Absolutely.
Up, ready to go.
Yeah. So. Well, that's been Taylor. She wants to bow hunt so bad, but I kind of want her to take one more year, just make sure she's got that NASP stuff down. Mm-hmm. So when she does go up to a higher bow, sights, all that, she can come back down and remember how to do everything.
And I'll tell you, it's pretty amazing. We got two kids out of Ohio, the Harper kids, Nathaniel and Matthew Harper. Matthew won at Worlds again, I think 2 years in a row now, but they shoot IBO. They shoot Hoyt and shoot IBO targets. I watched them in Indiana. They shot 40 IBO targets straight up in one day. Most people split them in 2 days.
Okay.
They shot 40, leave those 40. They walked over to my NAS range, put the Hoyt down, grabbed the Genesis, and he shot a 295.
That's what you can do. You put your mind to it, right?
Gosh.
Well, there's some exciting stuff we got to talk about on the NAS IBO side, and we'll get to that in a second. Tell us about your year with IBO so far.
It's been a great year. You know, when I was hired over, the big goal was to let's introduce the NASP IBO 3D challenge to more states. A lot of states just had not picked up the 3D portion of NASP because either they didn't have the money, the manpower, the resources, or even the want to do it. So that was the big goal of mine was to reach out to a bunch of states that have not started it and let them know that I was there for them. That not only, I wasn't just going to help them do it. I'll do it for you. I'll come to your state. I've got a 25-foot trailer with the entire tournament in it. So I've got 48 targets, everything I need for a tournament. And IBO will actually do it for you. We'll run registration. We handle all the registration, all the awards, the tournament, run the tournament, everything, package deal. And so we had a lot of states that jumped on that real quick. So last year, during state tournament time, we went to Ohio, left Ohio, we went to Virginia, left Virginia, went to Maryland, Maryland to Kentucky, then I went over to Georgia and visited with them and helped them with their tournament they were already having, and then now looking forward to picking up those states that we did last year again and then adding more to it this year.
I guess we really need to back up. We've talked a lot on the show about NASP. Which is, you know, 10 meters, 15 meters shooting at, what are those, 36 inch targets or something?
Yeah.
And it's a ring, a 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 out ring coming out. That is the NASP platform.
That's right.
That always has been. And what you're doing is trying to get those kids over into the IBO 3D targets and into hunting. But IBO 3D, what exactly is that and how is that different from the regular NASP tournaments?
Well, what they did is we found out that kids wanted a high percentage of the NAS archers. They wanted another shooting opportunity. And when introduced to 3D, they jumped on it and said, yeah, that's what we'd like to do. So IBO and NASP joined forces in 2014 to create NASP IBO 3D. So where now, when Taylor goes shoots, right now she's shooting 10 and 15 meters.
Right.
Well, now we introduce six animals to the equation, and the turkey sits on 10 meters.
Right.
The stone sheep sits on 15. That's the distance they're used to. Then the other four animals sit on a diagonal line in between those two at an unknown distance, which is international bow hunting style, organization styles, where we shoot unknown distance. It's not easy, not hard for them to figure out, but it is an unknown distance. So then they just rotate. They rotate from target to target until they've shot all six. They shoot 30 arrows, possible score of 300, just like they do over on the bullseye side, using the same bow, same arrows, same, you know, netting system. The only thing that changed is the targets themselves.
Same whistle commands.
Same
everything.
Whistle commands. Everything runs identical. Only thing that changes is the actual targets, and then we rotate between targets.
So you got a turkey at 10, a stone sheep at 15. What's in between?
So in between, we go from the turkey, we go to a coyote, to a cinnamon bear, to an antelope, then we go to the white-tailed deer, and then to the stone sheep.
We were sitting up in the booth at there in Orlando, and it looks like you've got a hill and a valley because the way those targets are laid out,
yep.
It looks like you actually have a little draw in there where they're shooting down. It was really,
really neat.
Funny.
You know, we had eight ranges. We had at Worlds, we had 96 kids on the line at one time. And, you know, then Nationals, of course, Nationals blows it slam out of the water. You know, we had 18 ranges going at one time, and next year it's going to even get bigger.
How many kids do you have in Louisville?
In Louisville this past year, we had 4,123 shoot 3D. So that's up almost 1,000 from the previous year, and it's just going to, you know, continue to grow. At World this year in Orlando, we saw a 5% increase at World. So that's 5% is pretty good.
So NASP total had about 15,000 in Louisville last year, and y'all had 4,000 of those.
Yep.
Come over and shoot.
It's usually about a 10% ratio that are shooting, and what we're going to see is that number just continues to grow because so many of these states, I mean, last year in 2016, there was only 11 states that held a state 3D tournament. This past year was 16. And then, so as more kids in all these other states even go to shoot 3D for the first time, then they're going to come to Nationals and World and want to shoot it again.
And that's an additional, hey, if I'm going to go to Louisville, Kentucky, I'd like to shoot more than just my 30 arrows on NASP.
Absolutely. And, of course, with the addition this year of a Western Nationals. So we'll be going to Salt Lake City in April to a Western Nationals. So a lot of the kids in the West that can't make the trip all the way across the country to Louisville, we're going to take the tournaments to them.
Nice. Growing sport, man. You love to hear this stuff.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. It's an exciting time when you start watching the numbers. And then just the kids. I mean, I had a parent this week, you know, to shoot me an email, literally just to thank me for speaking to his kid every time we see him. You know, that just those little things right there just give you chills, you know, that, you know, you're doing the right things.
You know, I think we got, about like a minute until the break or so. But you were telling me a story of a little girl that got sick on the range. And this is the kind of treatment that Ryan Bass gives his kids. Tell us that story.
So we're down at Worlds, and a young girl on the line shooting, and she shot two of her six targets and got sick. Literally ran to the trash can, throwing up just uncontrollably. I don't know if it was nerves, if she was sick, you know, whatever. So went ahead and we finished the tournament. And we sit back and we went to her and told her, said, look, when you feel like it, you come back. And if I got time, I'll put you back on line. A flight later, she comes back and wants to shoot. So we go out and I had her scorecard, put her arrows in her quivers, let her just go down the line and shoot. And then we scored them. So we got her back on the line like 2 hours later to let her finish her tournament.
That's a cool thing. So, wow, that does give you chills because that's a little girl who will remember that the rest of her life.
Absolutely.
You know, and the fact she came back
and finished strong.
That's cool. All right, hang on through the break. We're going to talk more about why Ryan is where he is and what's going on in the next year for IBO NASP 3D. Hang on through the break for more Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Lay your weary head. you cry no more.
We're all in here playing our stick drums. Got to wait for that to come in before you fade that music. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. Again, we're here with Ryan Bass. Taylor's here with us. We're talking NASP, IBO. What, I don't know, did we cover why you're there?
Yeah, well, I think we did a little bit. We talked about, you know, the reason they created a position that I'm in now is just to help grow the 3D side of NASP and be able to take it to more states across the country and just help expand the program.
And you're on the road a lot.
I'm on the road a lot. I think by the end of this year, I will probably have been gone about somewhere around 100 days. So a lot of traveling. Next year's even worse. But at the same time, one of the perks of the job was when the president of IBO came down to Columbia and we had lunch one day and he looks at me, he goes, now let me tell you, he said, you're not going to work for the International Bow Hunting Organization and not do a lot of bow hunting. And that pretty much sold me on the job right there. And he said, your off season is hunting season. I said, done, let's go. We're in. And so now, once I get past, I got IBO Outdoor World coming up here in 2 weeks. I'll be in Seven Springs, Pennsylvania in 2 weeks for the Outdoor World. And once I get back from that, I'm basically done until the ATA show in January.
So. IBO, you know, I was looking on the website. There's not even a representative for IBO in South Carolina.
No, IBO was really strong in the South at one point in time, but IBO has always been the strongest in the North and North and Northeast, basically running from Ohio down to Kentucky and then across to the East Coast and then all the way back up through New England. And that's where it's strongest at. You know, there's other organizations out there. ASA is real strong in the South. IBO is stronger in the North. It's just what it is. It's just the different types of shooting and different platforms of shooting. But Ohio's IBO is based out of Ohio. Okay. So naturally it's going to be stronger.
Okay. Okay. Well, this year, I mean, you and I have talked about it, and I can't wait for some of you people out here and Taylor to hear about some of the things that are going to happen this year. What, going forward, what do we got to look forward to?
Well, we're going to expand on what we've already done and introduce the NASP IBO 3D to more states. Myself, I think I'm running 14 tournaments next year. So I think I got a clone of myself out there somewhere, but, yeah, I'm going to add Texas. I think we're adding Pennsylvania, hopefully taking over Georgia, keeping all the tournaments that we already done this past year. So adding those, and of course with the addition to Western Nationals. So we'll be in Salt Lake City, Utah in April for that. But on top of that, we need to start taking the NASP kids and let's start introducing them to some outdoor 3D. So we kind of dipped in it a little bit this year at the second leg of our national championship series in Indiana this past year. We held a NASP IBO 3D outdoors and had a great tournament. Had our first 300 perfect score shot ever. Had actually the two young guys that tied at Nationals. They tied with a 298 at Nationals. They were both registered. They both gum shot. They tied again at a 295. And then a freshman out of Iowa comes and shoots a perfect 300. Outdoors, wind was blowing like crazy that day. We had storms going on, and he shot a perfect 300. So it was a, you know, great moment for him. Needless to say, IBO did some special things for him. We gave him a family membership to IBO and $100 gift card to Bass Pro Shop. We did some things for him. Logan Kelly was his name. Great young man. So we're going to continue to do that this year. I'm going to have a NASP IBO at all three of our Triple Crown events, which will be first one will be West Virginia. Then we'll go back to Indiana and then Pennsylvania. So we'll do that. And then, of course, Outdoor World next year, it will move. It will not be at Seven Springs. We move it every 2 years for Outdoor World.
Okay.
That location will be announced this here in about 2 weeks, which is it's going to be a great venue. People's really going to love the new location of it.
Okay.
And then on top of that, going from how do we take a NASP kid? How do we take Taylor here with her Genesis bow? How many hundreds of thousands of kids own a Genesis bow right now? They're everywhere.
Wow.
Well, if we want to introduce them to true 3D archery, why would we make a kid and a family go out and spend $600-$800 to go buy another bow and then go shoot 3D archery somewhere? Well, let's start them with the bow they've already got. Let's get them started. So what I'm going to do next year at all three of our Triple Crown events is I'm going to create a whole new division. And now that I think of it, I think this is the announcement of that. Nobody knows this.
Oh,
look at here. We just announced it.
We're
right
making
here.
History on Bridgewater, South Carolina.
So this is, we'll unveil it right here. So that's the plan is next year is I'm going to build a 3D course, a walking 3D range, just like every other IBO shooter does. And then we're going to open it up to the NAS kids or to the, a Genesis.
Sure.
And I'm going to create two classes within that division. One is a unmodified original Genesis bow, just like she shoots now with NAS. But then let's allow them to aid the bow, meaning let's put an air rest on it. Let's put sights on it. She wants to shoot a release aid. So an aided Genesis. So we'll have two classes, maybe do a unmodified and an aided. Take them out, let them shoot 10 IBO targets. And for score and awards. So now we're introducing them. We're taking them straight from that NAS range, straight onto an IBO range. And then once they graduate from the Genesis bow, well, they're automatically, they can go shoot any other, any other division that we already have. Like I was talking about the two Harper boys right now, the only two NAS kids shooting IBO and they're shooting for Hoyt. And one of them was the national champion this year. And, so that is the plan for next year of how we grow it and how we get more kids shooting true 3D archery outside of NAS. So it's that next step beyond NAS.
Take us through a walk-in course. I mean, when you say 10 targets and a walk-in course, how does that happen? And what are those kids going to be looking at when they're walking that course?
So it's basically, think about almost like sporting clays.
You know,
golf with a shotgun.
Sure.
Now we're doing golf with a bow. It's basically the same thing. You're going to walk from station to station. So you walk from stake to stake, from target to target. There'll be varying distances. And of course, with IBO, it'll be unknown distance.
Right.
So she's going to have to learn judge. She's going to learn judge some distance. Going to be able to look at that white-tailed deer and go, I think it's, 15 yards or whatever it may be. And we'll move those distances around. So they'll walk, they'll shoot that target, they'll score it, they'll come back, they'll walk the trail to another one. And just like we talk about in sporting clays, you'll walk from target to target. And it could be a variety of animals. We got everything from, bedded elk to, standing bear to an alligator to sheep. We've got, we've got all those animals out there. I was showing her a picture a little earlier of a mountain lion up on a stump that was on a course this year. Really cool target.
And look at that.
So it could be a variety of animals that so now let's introduce them. Take that NAS Genesis bow.
Right.
Very capable of doing what we want to do. And let's go shoot some 3D targets.
Quit smiling.
Y'all are going to ruin me with this thing.
You're already ruined.
Excuse me.
You're already ruined with archery.
I'm ruined?
Well, so to speak.
Well,
that's
some
right.
opinion of me.
I know. I can have the ability to do that.
So that means I'll see you.
Yeah, here we go. All right, Debbie.
I'll see you at NAS Nationals, Louisville.
Right.
NAS World, Louisville.
Louisville. Going back to Louisville.
So then that means I'll see you in West Virginia, Indiana, Pennsylvania, and then I'll see you at Outdoor World. So you'll get to see us a bunch next year.
That does sound cool. I'm sitting here visualizing these kids walking this thing, and they've been introduced to 10 and 15 meters. They know how to judge those distances. They are now going to go, they've been 10 to 15 meters in the same environment with the smaller mm-hmm. targets and all that. And now they're going to be having to judge instead of six targets, it could be up to 10 different targets at different ranges. Now, the range is still going to be between 10 and 15 meters.
Yeah, we'll keep it. We'll do some testing and we'll keep it within the range of the Genesis. We don't need a lot of bounce outs.
Right.
So we're going to keep it within the ability of the Genesis and vary those distance. We'll do some testing there and get it where it needs to be because we want them to have fun. It's about hitting targets. It ain't about missing.
Sure.
If we take them over on the pro range, that's completely different. I mean, and for them to be a part of a national tournament, Levi Morgan right now is at the top of the game, has been for 10 years. He won the IBO National Championship Series this year, won all three events. And when you look at the prize money that he walks away with shooting for mm-hmm. Matthews, it's substantial.
Yeah.
So we want the NAS kids to see that logical next step in archery,
mm-hmm.
in their career of archery, but we want them to be a part of that national stage. And that's at IBO Outdoor World this year, here in 2 weeks, the NAS IBO World Awards is right in the middle of the IBO Awards. So all the professionals, other shooters mm-hmm. are going to be there watching them get their awards.
That's pretty cool. And pretty exciting too.
Yeah.
That's a
big stage.
Big stage.
So that night, now you got to cough up the money for a 3D target here.
Yeah. You'd best get a job, young lady.
I've been trying.
Yeah,
I'm 13.
Well, you're 13 and you can't work. Well, Ryan, this has all been great. I appreciate you coming in and sharing all this with us.
Enjoy, always be enjoy being here.
Catch up again soon, I'm sure. After deer season. Well, actually, you need to start sending me some pictures of all the hunting adventures you're going to go on for the next 4 months.
Exactly right. We got to make some plans.
Gotcha. I noticed, though, he was telling me about the places he'd already set up trips to, and none of them included an invitation for me. So, back at you. Hey, great show. I hope you've enjoyed it. The opportunities out there for high school kids these days is just incredible.
But don't you wish we had that when we was a kid, from the bass fishing?
I don't know.
I mean, we were already doing it, but now look at it.
I just saw the other day, speaking of archery, Kenny Loudon, he rode me around Kentucky Lake when I was up there for the high school tournaments the other day. I saw he posted a picture of one of his archers on his Nash team just got signed to Bethel University to shoot archery for Bethel.
Yep. Bethel's recruiting through NASH very strong. They were at the world tournament last year. I didn't get a chance to walk through last week. I don't know if they were there, but they're recruiting hard through NASH.
What an opportunity, folks. You know, if you're not involved in some of these high school sports with your kids, I mean, you need to get them out there. It's a, you know, I appreciate all the soccer, the basketball, the baseball and stuff like that, because it is getting the kids outdoors. But man, there's something about seeing a kid out there fishing from the front of a boat, shooting a bow. And I guess this is close to our hearts.
Absolutely.
It's what we grew up doing. All right. It's over. I told you this time just flies by when you have good guests and good times behind the microphone. So as always, make time to get out there, investigate the NASH program for your school. It's out there. They'll help you do it. Take those back roads when you can. That's where South Carolina comes alive. Don't forget that camera. We'll see you back here next week on More Woods and Water, South Carolina.
From Carolina.